Welcome to the Pensacola Expert Panel, presented by Mainstay Financial and Anna Lee Leonard, who is responsible for the information and opinions expressed during the show.
Hi, this is Financial Advisor of the Year, Jim Brogan of Knoxville, Tennessee. You're listening to Winning with my good friend and colleague, Anna Lee Leonard.
You're listening to Winning with Anna Lee. Anna Lee is a retirement and estate planner, a member of the Ed Slott Master Elite IRA Advisor Group, as well as a sought-after speaker on such topics as income planning, 401k rollovers, and advanced IRA reduction strategies. When not working in her private practice, Anna Lee joins with other certified senior advisors to promote top-quality services to mature adults in the Pensacola area. Her goal is to help you prepare for and live comfortably in retirement. You can reach her office at 437-3127 or online at mainstaypensacola.com. Or call her now at 437-1620 on Winning with Anna Lee.
Good morning. Good morning. A sunny, beautiful Tuesday morning here. It's time for Winning with Anna Lee. We have Bob Burgi in the house, and I'm really excited because we have a lot to talk about. We've already been gabbing away.
Yeah. We start talking when we see each other, and then we said, let's save it for the show, right?
Right. But everybody stop talking. Listen, We need to talk about this on air because it's important. And I just want to remind you real quick, please go ahead. We've been busy over here on the text, the calls, 437-1620. If you have a question, and if it's a little bit more in depth, Bob can give you that information as well for Mainstay Financial. But while we're here and hanging out, we love having y'all chime in, especially when you call and have a question or want to share a story. It really does help open eyes. You know, people can sit, and I say this all the time when I get up and do public speaking and share. I can stand up here, I can give you facts, I can give you statistics, I can give you numbers, I can give you all of this. But if I don't share stories with you, you'll never learn.
Exactly.
So 437-1620, share your story with us. We would love to hear from you. How are you today?
I am great. And how about you? Everything
I'm so
good?
Excited. Yeah, like I know it's a little gray out there, this is perfect weather to me.
Yeah.
After Saturday's monsoon.
Yes, enough of that. Yeah, we're taking some time off next week, and Connie and I were talking. We're saying we hope the weather is just like this, like today. A little cooler, and overcast is fine.
I'm fine with it, especially if I'm going to be inside all day.
Yeah.
I don't mind it at all.
Right.
But yeah, and it's a perfect day to talk about everything under the sun, from not just financial planning and estate planning and retirement planning and all that, mm-hmm. but being prepared. And I shared with you a little bit how this past weekend, I just started like reflecting with my kids. They're getting older. They're creeping up into the double digits real fast.
Wow.
And time flies by.
Oh my gosh, it flies.
But they're learning every single day. They're soaking everything in.
Yes.
And we decided it was a rainy, monsoony day on Saturday. So we cleaned out my kid's closet, one of them. And she is a habit. She is a hobby lobby waiting to happen. She likes to sew, she likes to color, she likes to play sports, she likes to collect, she loves all the things. And so I was like, do you really love doing all these things, like making art? And she's like, well, mostly I just like doing it for other people.
Mm-hmm.
I realized she has all of these things in her closet, but a lot of it goes to giving to other people. So it just got me thinking and reflecting. I like to do that, you know. And yesterday I even talked about on the show how, you know, people, do we have hobbies anymore, or are we stuck to our phones, or are we waiting too long to like start the thing, do the thing we want to do, or learn the hobby? Like me, I want to get back on the piano. And you know, what are we waiting to do? So I went and I did a little bit of research, and it just so happens I found this amazing article about like the top 20-25 things that people regret not doing sooner in life. And there is everything under there, from divorce to spending more time outside, to hobbies.
I think that list would speak to everyone in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah. Absolutely. But one of the things on there was not being prepared for when a loved one passes away. And nobody can really fully be prepared. And it was more in the article about financially and having things lined up financially, like in that aspect, but also like who are we going to call when it comes to like a counselor or a pastor and things like that, and having that circle of trust in that process. And well, so it just, it blew my mind.
Yeah. Well, the resistance, the reluctance, the, you know, kicking it down the road is understandable. It's a very, you know, natural reaction or inability to react or prepare, because you're dealing with, you know, your own demise. Mm-hmm. Or how about this as a child?
Right.
And, you know, your parents are getting older and trying to get them to get their estate plan done, because we know a lot of people like that. And, you know, when we're talking to folks that come in and perhaps they're retiring, it's, you know, it can be somebody in their 60s, but their parents are still alive. One of the questions we ask, do they have an estate plan? I have no idea.
Ooh,
you know, well, tell us about your family. Well, I'm an only child. I said, well, look, this is all for you. You know, you need to make sure this is done. But anyway, it's a difficult topic to broach with anybody.
It really is. And I mean, I may have shared this before. It's tough no matter what. I got a phone call on Sunday that my friend's husband passed away suddenly. And it's, I mean, it's hard. It's hard to talk about. It's really great guy. Younger. He's not. And so it just like took us by surprise.
Yeah.
And, you know, you think about those moments and it kind of gives you a reality check.
Sure.
And I've shared even, you know, with when my husband, when my father-in-law passed away, so my husband's dad, he was much older. And so he kind of had everything lined up, right? Everything was lined up in order, ready to go. He was very prepared, and he was in his 80s. And so when we walked in to sign papers and do everything, you know, I was kind of just there for emotional support for his family. But you literally just walked in, signed papers, and that was it. You walked out. Everything was kind of lined up and ready to go. And then, you know, when we lost my dad suddenly, he was only in his 50s. He was very young. And so it we did not see it coming, and he thought he had a lot of life left to live, and we were not prepared whatsoever, I will tell you. And it was the emotional trauma afterwards in that day, those days after, were tough, making decisions. And then you thought, oh, we did the funeral, we did that, you know, okay, check that and move on. No, honey, it was not like that. Then you had everything else under the sun for 2 years afterwards.
And what a difficult time. And usually the a lot of times the surviving spouse is named as the person to settle the estate, and you know, it's very tough for that person to do anything. So and there are some timelines that are, you know, absolutely fixed. You can't, you know, you can't speed it up. It's not something that you can, you know, get done, check the boxes, file the paperwork, and in 30 days, you know, everything's fine.
No.
Now, I'm not saying you can't, you know, if you, you know, retitle, if you have assets transfer by title, that's pretty swift.
Right.
If you have primary beneficiary designations, which a lot of assets, you know, a lot of assets do, and we've talked about that before, like life insurance policies, any retirement plan has primary beneficiaries, annuities, and so on and so forth. You're able to speed up the process there. But anything going through probate or anything, really anything that is in the name of the deceased and in their name only meaning there's no joint ownership, no TOD, no POD. And if that asset has no primary beneficiary designation, then that asset's going to go through probate, and
We watched that happen, and it's not a lot of fun.
I think last week we talked a little bit about the different buckets, as Kristen Marks calls them, the different buckets that assets fall into, and what we thought we would do is build a little bit on that today. I did want to, you mentioned regrets, and we were talking about that, and I don't know if I've shared this with you, but years ago, I remember a Paul Harvey segment. So it was a long time ago, okay? Paul Harvey segment, and he talked about the greatest regrets at the quartiles of your life, ages 25, 50, and 75. And the regrets were not, of course, 100% or unanimous or anything, but off the charts was at age 25, I wish I would have worked harder in school. I wish I would have stayed in school. Mm. Something education related.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So that's the greatest regret at age 25, by a long shot. Okay. At age 50, the greatest regret is I wish I would have spent more time with my family, my kids, whatever that is. Very understandable. I think at 50, I went through that. But at 75, the greatest regret is I wish I would have traveled more and or saved more. You know, you can't do one without the other, right? But it's all about preparation. And at 75, I think that's when everything really kind of sinks in.
Right.
But anyway.
And that's the rest of the story.
Yeah.
I love Paul Harvey. Seriously, yeah. I feel like our younger generations, they miss out.
Yeah,
on the beauty of not just his voice, but so much wisdom.
Yes.
Oh, gosh, you just took me back. Like, listen.
Yeah, was on the AM radio. Oh, I remember that because
I grew up listening to Paul Harvey.
Yeah, well, that's interesting.
Because I just got excited.
Yeah, because so did I. And, there's quite a bit of difference in age, you know, between the two of us. But, yeah, what a fixture on the radio.
Oh, absolutely. One of the greatest. And, you know, just talking to you about, like, regrets or whatever, you know, I always love to remind people it's never too late. You know, you don't want to put off till tomorrow, like, what can be done today, right? But it's never too late to go ahead and start. And we did have a question come in. Is it a good idea if you get a bonus check, so I guess they're working, to put that bonus check or invest that into your IRA or Roth IRA?
Well, that, you know, if you, yes, it's a great idea.
Okay.
Now, if you've, you know, there are all sorts of other things, you know, if you've got credit card debt, if you've got some other needs, absolutely. But if this is money that is free and clear, is not spoken for, you don't need to pay down debt or you don't need to do anything else with, absolutely. Now, bonus check, okay, and contributing to a traditional IRA or a Roth IRA, it really depends also on how much you're making, okay? There are some other things. I don't want to get too far into them, but take a look at, this is where we say consult with your tax preparer or your accountant, or certainly you can look a lot of this stuff up yourself. But I think married filing jointly, you cannot make a Roth contribution if you make over, and I'm trying to remember, I think it's $198,000, married filing jointly. If your income is less than that, and of course that number is lower if you're filing as a single person. But there is also another variable you'd want to determine before you contributed to one or the other. If you're making a lot of money, the traditional contribution is more powerful because you can deduct that from your taxable income for that year. So if you're over 50 and you can make a $7,000 contribution to your traditional IRA, that $7,000 comes off your taxable income if you make under a certain amount and you're able to deduct it. If you're making less money, if you're younger and you're starting out and you don't have a huge income tax problem, then you may want to consider contributing to a Roth because the income tax deduction is not as powerful. So that's kind of the balancing test. But should you do one or the other? Absolutely.
Right.
Even if you did, even if you are making a lot of money and you make the Roth contribution, that's great. Even if you're making a small, you know, a less amount of money and you make the traditional contribution, either is a great idea. But again, consult with your accountant, consult with your financial planner, your financial advisor, and hopefully you'll get a good answer depending on your circumstances and your situation.
Yeah, but it's tax season, people. Everybody's rushing
and
to
and we
get
appreciate
it done.
The question.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a great question.
I love, actually, so here's another one. I guess married filing jointly is on everybody's mind, and taxes is on everybody's mind, and so we understand that. It's happening. Does it make sense? So my wife and I just got married. Does it make sense if we, as a combined total, make $90,000 a year, roughly, should we file jointly or separately?
I would err on the side of filing jointly. You probably should file jointly. There are considerable tax breaks for filing jointly, and not penalties, but there are some breaks you don't get if you are married and file a single return. Married filing separately.
Oh, okay.
I would err on the side, you know, all circumstances are different, but I would say 90-something% of the time you are better off filing jointly.
Look at that. All right. So yeah. I love that question. I guess it perked somebody's ears up. Wait a second. We're talking about filing. Let's see what happens. I love that. Thank you so much for your text and your questions. 437-1620. Please continue to chime in onto the conversation. We love hearing from you. And so we were talking about buckets.
The buckets, yes. And we're going to go over that real quick. We're not going to devote near the time we did last week. But the four buckets are work like this, and as Kristen said, every asset lives in one of these buckets. Mm-hmm. The first and the most powerful form of transferring ownership at death is by title. Title, if you own it jointly, it goes to the survivor, joint with right of survivorship, of course. Tenants in common is a different form of ownership, but let's stick with joint with rights of survivorship. Upon the demise of one of the owners, it will pass to the survivor or survivors of the joint ownership. Also, TOD, transferable on death, payable on death. So TOD, POD accounts that transfer by title, very powerful, and for all intents and purposes, Jenna, cannot be contested.
Oh.
It transfers by title. There's nothing to really
so that
defeat
one won't go into probate.
That. Negative. Okay. It will not go into probate.
Okay.
So that's bucket one, title. Second, assets that have a beneficiary designation, typically a primary and contingent beneficiary designation. These assets, as we just covered, annuities, any sort of retirement plan, any sort of retirement asset like an individual retirement account, a Roth IRA, these have beneficiary designations, as do life insurance policies. So again, beneficiary designation, very powerful, and that escapes what, Jenna?
Probate,
yes.
Please don't get it wrong.
No, it just rolled right off your tongue. It didn't sound very confident.
I was
scared for a second. Right,
I'm
answer.
Not going to lie. Listen, this is all me back here.
Yeah, I know. No, you're great. You're great. The third bucket, and probably not as common, but certainly a lot of assets are in trusts. And trusts name beneficiaries. The money is distributed in accordance with certain terms or discretionary terms, such as for the health, maintenance, support, and possibly education of the beneficiary. So that wealth is transferred in a different way.
Are those
way.
Contingencies or?
Well, they're called. I'll tell you the term that a lot of folks use. The dispositive provisions, disposing of the assets, the discretionary distribution terminology, which again is usually health, maintenance, support, education. A lot of trusts will say, and as a matter of fact, most trusts for tax purposes will say all of the income gets distributed to the beneficiary or the beneficiaries. And the reason for that is trusts that have taxable income, where the income remains in a trust, are taxed excessively. I don't want to get into the numbers, but you reach the highest marginal federal income tax rate after about $12,000 of income that is trapped inside the trust. So a good trustee Well, make sure all of the income gets distributed from the trust for tax purposes. So anyway, we're talking about the third bucket, a trust.
Okay.
The fourth bucket is really everything else. Anything that is owned in the name of the deceased, anything in their name and their name only, with no beneficiary designation, with no rights of survivorship or TOD, and that asset goes through what?
Probate.
Probate, Jenna.
Confidently said probate. You heard it.
That's right. That's
you heard
right.
it here on News
That's
Radio.
Right. That's right. Okay. So, you know, those are the four buckets. And it's a little, I think we used the example of, you know, what goes through probate more often than not, vehicles.
Yes.
You know, there are things that you typically don't own jointly. There's a lot, you know, a lot of times there's checking, savings, other accounts that are owned in an individual's name. So there can be a lot of probate assets or assets that are owned in an individual's name that don't have a beneficiary designation and that are that don't have rights of survivorship or a TOD or POD in the title. So again, assets in the deceased's name and in their name only with no beneficiary designation goes through
probate.
That's right.
So on top of those assets, and we've mentioned this before, like little things, whether it's a high-end jewelry or, you know, a jet ski, something mm-hmm. like that, you know, I mean, we live in Florida,
right?
Boats,
right?
Things like that you have to go and register it. You have
right.
the title to the boat. So if it's in your husband's name and he passes away, that will go into probate.
That's correct. That is correct. Now, things like jewelry, and you know, we have a lot of clients that have coin collections, that have guns, you mm-hmm. know, gun collections,
yeah.
You know, a nice wall hanging that, you know, is artwork.
Oh yeah.
But there are a lot of things that don't have, that aren't registered, okay?
Sure.
Now, there's what is known as a separate writing that if you want to leave, you know, a ring or some earrings or something to one of your grandchildren, or a cedar chest or another piece of furniture,
sure.
absolutely anything, you have what is known as a separate writing. And if that is referenced in the last will and testament,
yes.
a separate writing signed by the deceased will effectively transfer ownership of that property to the person you name. So, you know, that's another way to that's another way to transfer.
Right. Yeah. And avoid hassle
property.
Later
right,
on.
Right.
Avoid that hassle.
Exactly.
But I was going to say, you know, how much on average, like as a let's say a 25-year-old, we'll start at that first age bracket. How much on average should they put away each month just to be prepared for, like estate planning? And that's talking overall, like hiring somebody to help with it. Should they start saving early, or is that something that, you know, because I'm imagining it costs money to sit down and have that conversation. And it does cost money to go in and plan your funeral as well. It's not fun, but it costs money.
You know, as far as having an estate plan, when to set it up, you know, we tell folks this. We have, you know, 80-year-olds that don't have an estate plan. We have 25-year-olds that don't have an estate plan. Well, guess who has the greater sense of urgency, right?
Oh, yeah.
You know, the 80-year-old.
Right.
But the thing about doing your estate plan or having it completed, you have the rest of your life to do it, okay? Mm. And you just don't know when that is. So everybody needs one. But I would say, and I hate saying this because, you know, you want to dot all the I's, cross all the T's, and there are some people out there that really want to make sure they're covered on everything. And hopefully we're all like that. But I can't imagine anyone would say that the urgency for a 25, 30-year-old is as great as somebody that's a senior citizen, right?
Yeah, I mean, no. But
the sooner the better.
Yeah, I mean, I recently lost a young friend. So it makes you think.
Absolutely.
That's all.
Anything can happen.
Right.
Absolutely anything can happen.
And we see it on the news every day. You just, you know, things happen. And so it's just better to be safe than sorry. We're about to take a quick break. We have some questions coming in, so we have some questions to get to when we come back. But
awesome.
Let's take a moment and say good morning to Cheryl King.
Good morning.
Hi, Cheryl.
I'm so excited to see you. What's going on in the news?
Well, ECUA crews will begin smoke testing somewhere in town this week, so you might want to listen in and get a hold of that, because that's going to be important question or important information, so you don't be afraid of the smoke.
Fox News, I'm Lillian Wu. Some cities bracing for unrest when the verdict in the Derek Chauvin murder trial comes in. Today's the second day of deliberations on whether he murdered George Floyd in Minnesota.
The governor has called this a peacetime emergency. That gives him the right to call in police from other states if necessary.
Fox's Steve Harrigan in Minneapolis, where he reports many stores are boarded up.
People are afraid what could happen after this verdict. Will it be a repeat of 1 year ago when we saw buildings burned, police stations overtaken, more than $300 million in damage?
And the U.S. is taking steps to protect the country's electric system from cyber attacks.
The initiative encourages operators to implement technology that enhances their detection, mitigation, and forensic capabilities.
Fox's Rachel Sutherland. America's listening to Fox News.
It's 10:31 at News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. 71 and mostly cloudy. I'm Cheryl King. Opponents of Florida's new anti-rioting law say it's not needed, with laws already on the books to deal with the violent protests. And Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons tells us there's been no need for it at the local level.
We have not had that problem here in Escambia County, where these people are these criminals would be walking down the street and tearing up things and looting.
That said, Simmons says he supports any law that protects citizens and their property. ECUA crews will begin smoke testing of the sewer collection system lines in the Lyfair Estates area this Thursday. The test is to determine if there are areas where stormwater or groundwater are entering the sewer system. Testing will generally be conducted from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. Now the WEAR weather forecast.
We will be seeing those skies turning sunny as we go later in the morning and heading into the afternoon. Today, we will be seeing those temperatures rising near 75 degrees, dropping as we head overnight near 57 degrees. Tonight, conditions will be clear, turning into sunny skies for Wednesday. Wednesday, that high near 74. From the First Warning Channel 3 studios, I'm meteorologist Brooke Richardson.
71 in both Pensacola and Milton, and 70 in Gulf Breeze at 10:33. I'm Cheryl King.
I'm Jennifer Kashinko with Your Money Now. Stocks are lower. The Dow Industrial's down 273 at 33,804. The Nasdaq's down a sharp 179. The S&P 500 off 35. A strike has halted production at a Volvo heavy-duty truck assembly plant in Dublin, Virginia. The latest disruption as equipment makers scrambled to meet soaring demand for big rigs. The plant produces all Volvo trucks sold in North America. Some 2,900 UAW members went on strike Saturday, citing Volvo's failure to make progress on a labor contract. Food and drinks are coming back on American Airlines starting June 1st. American will reintroduce a simplified beverage service in economy class on domestic flights. A new collaboration between McDonald's and the Korean music sensation BTS will bring unique sauces to the fast food giant's menu for the first time. Beginning at the end of May, customers can get sweet chili and Cajun dipping sauces inspired by popular recipes from McDonald's South Korea. And that's Your Money Now.
Business owners, second quarter is here. Wait, a quarter of the year is gone and you're still struggling to put together your strategies for your marketing plan this year?
No. We actually have a wonderful strategy in place. I'm just going to go get it. Oh my gosh, you guys, get a plan together quick!
Don't waste another day. Contact ADX Digital today. Hey, it's Callie Scully, Digital Sales Director for ADX Digital, and it's time you stop wondering, stop stressing, and the overwhelm you feel can end today. At ADX Digital, we are your comprehensive digital marketing partner, and we're here to help. We are local marketing professionals, we understand the market, and we know what works for businesses just like yours. We'd love to build a partnership with you. Make today the last day you feel overwhelmed. At ADX Digital, we'll work with you to create a customized digital marketing partnership tailored exactly to your business to help you achieve your goals. Don't waste another day. Email me today at connect@adxdigitalmarketing.com. That's connect@adxdigitalmarketing.com.
take a short lifestyle detour from the news of the world. Here's Jenna Barr and the Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
And they stay there, and they say yeah, and they stay there. Cause all I do is win, win, win. And if you go in it, put your hands in the air, make them stay there.
10:35 here at News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Good morning to all of you. If you're just tuning in, it's time for Winning with Anna Lee, or Winning with Bob Burgi. Feel free to weigh into the conversation, 437-1620. We're sharing, swapping stories back here.
Yeah.
He's getting to know me a little bit
more. Yes, yes. And hey, I got to say, I like everything I hear. But we were talking about, you know, it's funny, we get off the air for a few minutes and we're talking about, I think we ended up talking about personal property and everything. Mm-hmm. So there are some people, I don't know who, but some people in this world that just seem to retain more junk and stuff that they don't need than others.
I feel like it weighs them down from fulfilling the best life they could possibly live. I've experienced it firsthand, I just have to tell you.
Yeah.
And so I always, you know, I share my story pretty, you know, raw in my life. I'm not afraid to share my story. And so I've shared with people how for a very short period of time, about a year and a half, you know, I didn't have a home to live in. Mm-hmm. And all I had was literally two suitcases. It was a duffel bag and a suitcase. And so I learned to live beneath my means. I mean, I didn't have any money, so that helped. But, you know, it taught me a lot about material items.
Right.
And which ones I hold dearly. And it's funny because the other day I was getting dressed and I putting a nice dress on to come to work, and my daughter was like, I want to help you put on some jewelry. Can I pick out one of grandma's rings for you to wear? And it's not worth a whole ton of money, but she wore it all the time. So when she passed away, she knew how much I loved it, just like my daughter eyes it every single day. And my daughter's like, I want you to wear this one. And so those kind of things have really deep sentimental value to me.
Right.
But if you are trying to keep, you know, me holding on to some kind of comic book or an entire stack, it's never going to happen.
Or how about, you know, I can live with jewelry, things that don't take up a lot of space, but, you know, furniture and just mounds of items you're never going to use again.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's amazing. And you know, I'm sure there's people listening that say, hey, you know, you've got your own stuff that you know, your own creature comforts.
Sure.
I mean, I've got probably the biggest box, you know, that I own full of albums, you know.
Love
from
it.
Back. But I, you know, am I ever going to play those again?
Well, I have a record player, so
Well,
we
I'll
enjoy ours.
Yeah.
If there's something about like putting it on and hearing the little scratch, and it just, especially at Christmas time with our Christmas albums or playing the Carpenters on the I mean,
oh, gosh.
Well, I grew up with a record player, and we had a couple in our house, and my dad had several thousand records throughout our lifetime. We had an entire walk-in closet full of them. He was a musician, though, but when he passed away, oh boy, that was the biggest thing we had to move were the records.
No
so
kidding.
You better keep it under control.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
Well, I've got a son that would grab them in a second. But
I love that.
I need to maybe I need to formalize that, right?
Right.
But
hey.
But anyway, let's see, what were we were talking about material possessions and things like that. And one of the things that you and I talk about, Jenna, is, you know, we bought this house, and you and I are about to be neighbors.
That's right.
Over near the new Publix on Cervantes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an old house, and you know, we're going to be moving in, but one of the things that it's going to allow us to do is get rid of stuff, okay? Because when you move, that's decision time. Do we want to move this, or do we want to take it, you know, turn it over to somebody else, give it a good home? And we are the stewards of these material possessions, but you can unlock that. You can set yourself free by turning it over to someone else, right, that can use it.
Oh, absolutely. So. And, you know, it comes down to just having a moment with yourself, okay? I'm going to come into, like, you know, guru Jenna. I'm just kidding. But, you know, having a moment with yourself and deciding what is important to you. My children are learning. They have books, financial books that they read. They're actually really cute. And they're learning about saving, spending, and giving. They have their envelopes and those things that they just decided to come up with. And my other one has to have jars because it has to be visible to see how much is in there.
Right.
But teaching kids at a young age, and I talked about this earlier with Mike Wiggins when we were taking a break on the Garden Line, we really need to start teaching kids at a young age about saving, spending, giving, and finances, because we kind of glaze over it. Like, yeah, you know what a quarter is, but do you know how to save it, spend it, or give it?
Yeah.
You know? And so we really got to start early. But before we go off on a tangent, we do have a caller. We have David from Pensacola. Good morning, David.
Oh, good morning. I've got a question here I haven't heard mentioned. I have purchased like a 4-year college scholarship thing through the Florida prepaid tuition deal.
Yes.
For a grandson.
Okay.
And of course, it's named to him as being the student or the person receiver of the amount. Now, in my demise, does that have to go through probate, that sort of thing?
Okay. That Florida prepaid plan, you put that money in there. That is no longer yours. Okay. That money is for, did you say your grandson?
Right. Uh-huh.
Yes. Now, and the way that works is it's almost like a UTMA, and I don't know everything about the Florida prepaid because honestly, that really kind of came into, I don't know how long it's been around, but I did not take advantage of it personally, but I didn't have at the time, I'll tell you, with 5 kids, I didn't have the extra money to put in it. But, you know, what you're doing is a great thing. But that money that you have committed to the Florida prepaid is for that grandson. Now, if that grandson, and, you know, heaven forbid, does not choose to go to college, you know, it can be used for, you know, another grandchild, I believe, in that same family. I believe that is the way it works, or it can be used for education expenses, you know, for Florida colleges and universities, for other people in that family, I believe. But you know,
I see.
How old is the grandson?
16.
Okay, and I'm kind of curious, why did you choose Florida prepaid versus a 529 plan?
It will pay for out of state, the amount of money that would be paid in Florida. It'll pay that to any state college or university.
Right.
And it'll pay for different kinds of occupational training as well.
Yeah. So, yeah, and that's the right answer. You're purchasing at a discount something that you know is going to be far more expensive in the future. And, you know, two things that have historically increased in cost or have an inflation rate higher than the general inflation rate are medical expenses and tuition, right? Those two don't seem to pay much attention to the 2.5% inflation rates that we've seen of late. They're typically much higher inflation rates. So it's a, you know, prepaying it at a discount is a great idea. You know, the 529 plans, you're basically putting money in. You're not prepaying anything. You're putting money in to be used for that purpose. So you're counting on the growth to carry you rather than achieving the discount on the purchase. But I mean, you know, that is something that is not going to be included in your probate, estate. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh.
It's not even for you. And, It's not going to go through your probate estate.
Well, that's a really good question, though. I appreciate that, David. Thank you so much for calling and for listening.
Yeah, and I always like to share this. As far as the college plans, I think they're great vehicles. The one thing you want to do is, certainly make a determination whether you want to count on the growth at a very young age and perhaps begin a 529 plan, or purchase the tuition, or purchase the education at a discount, like David is doing.
Okay, I've never heard of the Florida prepaid plan. So that's
You're not from here, right?
Nope.
Yeah.
No.
I didn't take advantage of it either, and I don't know a lot about it, but I know enough about it that a lot of people ask questions. Hey, what if my son chooses to go to Auburn or Alabama? That's
right.
Not what Florida prepaid is intended to do, but it does apply that same amount to the college or university.
Florida does have a lot of excellent opportunities and advancements for our kids.
Yeah.
I will say that. I mean, there's still a lot of things that need to be fixed.
I believe that we are the most progressive state in homeschooling.
Oh.
And yeah, I believe there are more kids in the state of Florida, or a greater percentage of children in the state of Florida. I may be wrong, but at one time this was true, that are being homeschooled than any other state, because it's so, and think about it, we're a very transient state.
Well, yeah.
It's tough to, put kids in and out of schools when
right.
And I'm talking about military.
Military, yep, that's what I was thinking.
A lot of people moving here for, things hurricane related, clean up, and they move their family here.
And then people came to Florida just to see, like, how can I handle it? And listen, only the tough ones stick it out from July to September.
So you know what? That's a great segue into this. I don't know if you remember last week we were talking about, Annalie and I were talking about some of the myths, and we could have a whole show on some of the myths to debunk and dismiss that, a lot of people are worried about. And one of them, and we hear this a lot, is Florida, Florida, a state that has no state income tax, and possibly one day Florida having a state income tax. That is something that is, so to the core and so, sacred in this state of Florida that I don't think that is ever going to happen. Not only that, I believe it requires a constitutional amendment.
Right. I don't believe it's literally is what helps make our economy thrive.
Oh yeah, we would not be the state we are.
People are moving here in droves.
Yeah. It's not
droves.
Just the weather. It's no state income taxes. That's powerful.
No. I mean, and the weather is superb, and I love it.
Yes.
I mean, especially days like today where it feels like spring. But no, I mean, I even have family and friends who are like, just in the recent election, things changed again. And so they're like, when they ask us, like, how are things doing? I'm like, we're fine.
Yeah.
Like, we're good.
Yeah.
And we're very blessed to have that. And people need to just kind of take a look. Don't just go ahead and check a box and see things and how you're voting or who you it really does take a lot of research. And that's we could teach kids things like that, how to really research and how to read, your election ballots and those amendments that are on there and those laws that people want to put into place.
Right.
Read those thoroughly because, it could change the trajectory of all of our futures.
So one of them is the Florida state income tax. Listen, Jenna, anything can happen, right? Anything can happen. But our position, and it's a very strong, solid, confident position, is that Florida will never have a state income tax.
Oh, yeah.
Another one we hear often is that by the time I retire, there will not be any Social Security remaining. There won't be any Social Security left. We hear this from 60-year-olds, okay?
Where do they come up with that?
Well, there are studies out there that show that if it is funded at its current rate, that in the year 2028 or 2032, that the Social Security reservoir of money will run out. And you know, you've seen these, you can find these. You know, when will Social Security run out? It'll give you a date. But you know what? Our taxes will go up. You know, the Fed, the Federal Reserve can print more money. You know, that something that you have paid to, you know, it really is your right. Again, we're confident. We, you know, that's a very solid position that we have, that Social Security is not going to run out. Somehow that will be funded going forward. Another one that we hear a lot about is that the step up in cost basis will eventually go away. That's something that's a little more complicated. Go ahead.
Well, why don't you tell us what is the step up in cost basis?
The step up in cost basis is when an asset owned at death, okay, that had, you know, let's say that asset, let's say it's a piece of land, it can be a stock, let's say it was purchased for $10,000, but at death, that asset receives a new cost basis that is transferred to the beneficiaries. And if that asset is worth $100,000, that is the new cost basis. So all gains, all long-term gains, all capital gains are wiped out at death for certain assets. That does that does not include a few very specific assets, but most assets receive a step up in basis. On retirement accounts, it doesn't matter. On IRAs, traditional IRAs, because anything that spills out of them, anything distributed, is taxable. So cost basis doesn't matter inside qualified plan money. But, you know, piece of land, an individual account with stocks, bonds, mutual funds, anything, any asset that you own at death receives a step up in basis. And there's a lot of conversation, a lot of speculation that the step up in basis will go away and you will inherit, you know, let's say your parents' original cost basis and have to pay gains when you sell it. So, Jenna, in theory, you can inherit an asset, piece of land, an investment account that is not an IRA, and you can immediately liquidate it and not have any tax consequences, okay? Whereas your parents or whoever left it to you, if they had sold it during their lifetime, they would owe capital gains, right?
Right.
So there's a lot of, again, speculation that the step up in cost basis will be eliminated. We don't think that's going to happen.
Okay.
Another one, and this is getting a little more specific, that again, in 2021, Congress will swoop in and suspend or waive the required minimum distribution for this year, the RMD. We believe in all likelihood that is not going to happen. So in 2021, you are in all likelihood going to have to take your required minimum distribution. Interestingly enough, the required minimum distribution has been suspended twice. I believe it wasn't 2008. I think it was the year after the stock market crash of 2008. But in the year 2009, RMDs were suspended. And, of course, in the year 2020, due to the global pandemic and the way our stock market dipped for that really kind of moment in time during, it was an intra-year trough that the stock market experienced. But the RMDs, the required minimum distributions, were also suspended in 2020. We don't think it's happening for 2021. Again, we hope not. Again, this is a list that Annalee and I kind of came up with. What used to be the old stretch IRA, where you could distribute the IRA balance, the traditional IRA balance, from the account over the lifetime of the child that inherits it. You know, in a beneficiary IRA, the notion that a stretch IRA will come back is probably not true. That, of course, we've talked about it in our shows quite a bit. The 10-year rule is the new rule, and I believe that's sticking. That's accelerating the revenue that the government wants, that the federal government wants, of course, that are coming out of these IRAs. And it used to be, Jenna, that your children could inherit your IRA and pay the take the distributions and pay the income taxes over their lifetime. Well, now, if they're over 18, they have 10 years to take it all out. And that can often be a lot of income, but it's also a lot of tax revenue. Hmm. And that's, you know, I believe the purpose is to increase the tax revenue. Here's another one we hear a lot, that someday to pay for all this, all these stimulus checks, my Roth IRA distributions are going to be taxable. Now that is another one. We are extremely confident. We have a very strong position on that, that that will never, ever happen. And if you recall, a Roth IRA is funded with after-tax dollars. So you've already been taxed on that money. The premise or the notion that you will be taxed again on Roth IRA distributions, I think that's a ridiculous concern. Mm-hmm. Roth IRAs will not become taxable. Another one having to do with Roths. Right now, Roths do not require a required minimum distribution at any age. So if you have a Roth IRA, unlike a traditional IRA, you do not have to take your RMD. Again, your required minimum distribution. Roths do not have that. Could we one day require the RMDs from a Roth IRA? I think that could happen. We don't see it happening this year or next year, but that is something that could happen. Again, it doesn't generate any tax revenue because it's tax-free, and for that reason, that may be a really great reason that there are no required minimum distributions from Roth IRAs right now for the original owner.
Hey, let's jump back real quick. We're about to wrap up here in about 2 minutes, but let's jump back to Social Security.
Yes.
We have a question. Can you please elaborate more on Social Security being funded? When I hear that the U.S. has trillions of dollars in unfunded liabilities, I assume the government is using tax dollars for things other than its intention. So please explain how that affects Social Security money.
Okay, that's a long question.
It's a lot, but it's good.
Yes. I don't think it's a question, but I think the first comment is the United States has trillions of dollars in unfunded liabilities. True.
Mm-hmm.
So please explain how that affects Social Security monies. Social Security is funded through your paycheck, okay? Mm-hmm. You see that coming out every 2 weeks or whatever it is. Now, that Social Security is actually a tax. It's something that goes into a reservoir to fund the Social Security liability. It is projected that that will run out, and again, I can't remember the date, but it's something that you could Google. You know, when does Social Security run out? And I would think it's going to come up with something, you know, about 10 years from now. But that tax will increase, and we will fund it to the extent it needs to be funded so that the beneficiaries of the Social Security... You're smiling, Jenna. Is there a date?
Yeah, I mean, by 2034.
2034 is what it says?
That's what it says.
Okay, so 13 years from now, it is projected to run out. You see, people my age don't do that quick, okay? You are really quick. She came up with the answer. So, anyway, everybody have a great day, a great week, and Social Security is not going to run out by 2034.
I think to myself, what a wonderful